I want you to picture a scene. It is a sweltering, incredibly humid summer afternoon.
Oh, the worst kind of weather.
Right, like the air is just thick. It's the kind of day where the sweat just pools on your skin, and the mere thought of moving, let alone eating a heavy, hot meal, makes you feel physically ill.
Yeah, you just lose your appetite completely.
Exactly. So what do? You find a spot right in front of an air conditioner or a fan. You sit perfectly still and you just wait for the sun to go down.
You do absolutely nothing. I mean, it is the universal biological survival strategy for a heat wave.
Right.
You minimize all exertion. You essentially shut down your physical engine just to keep your core temperature from spiking into a danger zone.
And it turns out, if you look out into a sprawling green pasture on that exact same humid afternoon, Grazenberry cows are doing the exact same thing.
They really are.
But the science behind how they do it, the massive biological consequences of that choice, and more importantly, when they do it, it's just fascinating.
It really is a beautifully complex response because, you know, we look at a field of cows standing still and we just assume they're being lazy.
Right, just standing there staring.
Yeah, but there's this intricate, literal life or death calculus happening inside their bodies.
And that is our mission for this deep dive. We are unpacking a 2026 study from the Australian Journal of Agricultural, Veterinary, and Animal Sciences.
A really great paper by Iqbal and a team of colleagues.
Yeah, they wanted to understand exactly how environmental heat and humidity dictate the daily hour-by-hour schedules of dairy cows.
Which is crucial information.
So we are going to look at what this tells us about animal welfare and ultimately the future of farm management.
Because this matters to you. I mean, we as a society often think of agricultural productivity as a given,
Yeah,
right?
we just expect the milk to be at the grocery store.
Exactly. We assume the system just keeps churning out milk and food regardless of what happens in the sky.
But it doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. As our environments change and we start seeing more extreme temperature spikes, understanding how these animals naturally adapt is the key to sustainable farming.
Well, let's get into how this team actually collected their data. Because before we talk about these dramatic behavioral shifts, okay, let's unpack this methodology a bit.
Sure.
Because I have some serious questions about it. The setup for this study took place at Dairy Unit 1, which is a pasture-based grazing farm at Massey University down in New Zealand.
Right, it's a fantastic research facility down there. They tracked 36 lactating cows out in the pasture.
Right, and they were looking specifically at three different breeds, so Jerseys, Holstein Friesians, and crossbreds.
Yes.
Okay, but here's where I have to push back. We're talking about a study published in 2026.
I know where you're going with this.
I mean, we live in a world of AI, GPS collars, automated biometric sensors, and drones. I have a smartwatch that tells me if I'm stressed.
Yeah, the tech is everywhere.
But this methodology was completely old school. They literally put a single human being in a field with stopwatches.
Well, a highly trained observer, yes.
Wait, 36 cows in a massive paddock, and one person is just standing there clicking stopwatches for hours.
Yes, exactly that.
How is there no human error there? Like, if a cow turns its back, how does this person know if it is eating or just staring into space? It seems so inefficient compared to an automated collar.
That is a completely fair assumption to make, and the researchers actually address this in the methodology.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. While automated sensors are fantastic for certain things, like tracking how many steps a cow takes, continuous visual observation by a trained human is actually still the gold standard benchmark in behavioral science.
Wait, really? A human is better than AI for this.
For this specific task, yes. Think of an automated collar like a Fitbit for a cow. It measures physical movement. So if a cow is tossing its head aggressively to swat at flies, an accelerometer might log that movement as active grazing.
Oh, I see. It gets confused by the motion.
Precisely. It just sees the head moving up and down. But a human observer knows the cow is just annoyed by flies.
Because they can see the context.
Exactly. A trained eye can distinguish the exact nuances of what a cow is doing from 30 meters away. They know the specific rhythmic jaw sweep of a cow that is chewing its cud versus a cow that is tearing fresh grass.
Wow.
Yeah, the researchers needed absolute, undeniable precision on the timing of these behaviors, and a human brain processing visual context is still better at that than a collar.
Okay. Fair enough. So this person is out there, stopwatches in hand, tracking four cows at a time for 8 hours a day from 9:00 a.m. to 5:00 p.m. over three separate 9-day trials across spring, summer, and autumn.
Which is a massive undertaking.
They stood in a paddock for 72 hours per trial, just watching jaws move.
It is incredibly grueling behavioral science, but it yields pristine data. And they were looking for very precise timing on what they call the big three behaviors in a cow's daily budget.
Let's lay those out for the listener. The first is grazing. And this is not just standing in tall grass, right?
Right. No, the observer was specifically watching for active searching, biting, and chewing of the pasture.
That's active eating.
Yeah, that is the cow's direct nutrient intake. It is the fuel gathering.
Oh.
In a normal 24-hour cycle, a healthy dairy cow needs to budget roughly 12 hours just for grazing to meet its caloric needs.
12 hours, so half the day is just acquiring food.
Yes. And then comes the second behavior, which is rumination. This is the one that really defines the entire digestive system of cattle.
Rumination. Okay, the study defines this as the regurgitation and remastication of the food bolus.
That's the scientific way to say it, yeah.
Hold on, let's translate that into plain English. Are we saying the cow essentially throws up its slightly digested grass, chews it some more, and then swallows it again?
That is the biological reality, yes. Cows are ruminants.
Wow, okay.
So when they swallow grass while grazing, it goes down into a massive stomach compartment called the rumen.
Right.
The grass softens up in there, and then later they bring it back up to the mouth. That is the cud.
Oh, chewing the cud. I've heard that.
Exactly. They grind it down further so the microbes in their gut can actually extract the nutrients. A cow needs about 8 hours in their daily budget dedicated strictly to this rumination process.
8 hours just for chewing it again.
Yeah, it's completely non-negotiable if they want to absorb any calories.
So if we do the math, that is 20 hours of a 24-hour day completely spoken for,
yep.
12 hours of eating, 8 hours of chewing the cud, which leaves us with the third behavior they tracked, which is idling.
Right, the catch-all category.
So this is just anything else.
Yeah, if the cow isn't actively tearing grass and isn't actively ruminating, they are idling. That includes standing under a tree, walking to a water trough, drinking, or just resting.
And this idling behavior is where the New Zealand study finds its absolute gold mine of data.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when you introduce the environmental catalyst, you know, the heat, that delicate 20-hour balance of grazing and rumination gets completely thrown into chaos.
That is the core conflict here. The environment forces the cow to make a choice between feeding itself and cooling itself.
Which brings us to the trigger point for all of this. Like, what actually causes a cow to abandon its 20-hour food budget? Are we talking Death Valley temperatures here?
No, not even close. The metric the researchers use is called THI, or the Temperature Humidity Index.
Okay, THI.
Yeah, it is an equation that combines ambient air temperature with relative humidity to calculate how the air actually feels to the animal.
Because a dry heat allows for sweat evaporation, but a humid heat just kind of traps the temperature against your body.
Exactly.
So what is the THI threshold that sends these cows into a panic?
Well, the study found very specific tipping points. For the heavy Holstein cows, the heat stress threshold is a THI of 68.
68, okay.
For the crossbreds, it is 69. And for Jerseys, which are genetically known to be a bit more heat tolerant, the threshold is 75.
Wait, I need to pause on those numbers.
Yeah.
Because a THI of 68 doesn't sound extreme at all.
To us, no.
If I check my weather app and it says the THI is 68, I'm thinking about a mild spring afternoon, maybe like 70 degrees Fahrenheit with a bit of humidity. I would be totally comfortable sitting outside in a t-shirt.
Right.
So why is a cow experiencing physiological stress in that weather?
You have to look at the differences in physiology. I mean, you are a primate with a high surface area to mass ratio. You sweat incredibly efficiently to cool your blood.
Yeah, we're built for sweating.
But a dairy cow is a massive, incredibly heavy, dark-haired animal with a tiny surface area relative to its internal volume. They just cannot shed heat the way we do.
They are trapped in a leather coat.
A very heavy leather coat.
Mm-hmm.
So a THI of 68 is the exact tipping point where the ambient air can no longer absorb the cow's body heat faster than the cow generates it.
And we see this tipping point play out drastically during the study's autumn trial, right? Which they labeled Observation Trial 3.
Yes, the autumn trial is where the data really pops.
So the observer tracked the THI steadily rising throughout the morning, and it peaked at a THI of 71 between 3:00 p.m. and 4:00 p.m.
And a THI of 71 is squarely in the danger zone for the Holsteins and the crossbreds.
The stopwatch data at that moment is just wild. As the THI hits that peak of 71, the time the cows spend idling shoots through the roof, while their grazing and rumination times just fall right off a cliff.
Completely drop.
When I was reading this part of the study, the best analogy I could think of is a computer processor.
Oh, that maps perfectly to the biology. How do you mean?
Well, you know, when you are running too many intense programs on a laptop, like maybe you're editing a huge video file and the internal temperature of the computer spikes?
Yeah, the fan starts whirring like crazy.
Exactly. But the processor doesn't just keep working at 100% capacity until it catches fire. It starts thermal throttling.
Right, it intentionally slows down.
Yeah, it slows its own performance, the screen buffers, the mouse gets choppy. It is actively pausing its own output just to keep the hardware from melting down.
What's fascinating here is that is exactly what is happening in the pasture. The cows aren't just being lazy, they are thermal throttling.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, grazing is a high CPU program. It requires physical exercise. The cow is actively walking across a paddock, tearing heavy grass and carrying 1,000 pounds of body weight in the sun.
Right.
That generates muscle heat.
Right, it's a workout, but rumination seems like they are just standing still chewing. Why would that cause them to overheat?
Because rumination is an even more intense program. It just runs internally.
Oh.
We mentioned the rumen earlier. It is essentially a 40-gallon fermentation vat inside the cow.
40 gallons?
Yeah, it's huge. And in order to break down tough plant cellulose, millions of microbes in the rumen are actively fermenting the grass.
Yep.
That chemical reaction generates a massive, massive amount of metabolic heat.
So the sheer act of digesting food literally cooks them from the inside out.
Yes. The digestion process acts like an internal furnace, drastically raising their core body temperature.
Wow.
So when the external temperature and humidity, the THI, are already pushing the cow to its thermal limit at 3.00 p.m., the absolute last thing it wants to do is fire up a 40-gallon internal furnace.
That would be a disaster.
Right. By switching entirely to idling behavior, the cow is actively prioritizing lowering its metabolic heat over its own nutritional needs. It chooses cooling over calories.
Which makes total sense for surviving a hot afternoon, but it brings up a massive logistical problem.
It does.
If a cow requires 12 hours of grazing and 8 hours of rumination to survive, and they are forced to completely stop and thermal throttle all afternoon, how are they not just starving to death? When does the math balance out?
That question is the pivot point of the entire study. The researchers transition from analyzing what the cows do to when they do it.
Oh, I see.
It all comes down to the time of day.
The daily schedule. So the researchers crunched the numbers and found that the specific hour of the day explained 20.7% of the total variance in idling behavior.
Yes.
It also explained 17.9% of the variance in grazing.
Which tells us that the clock, you know, the position of the sun, is one of the most powerful environmental drivers of their activity.
Let's look at the timeline the observer recorded. In the morning, around 10 a.m., grazing was incredibly heavy.
Oh yeah, huge spikes in activity.
The cows are out there acting like lawnmowers, eating as much as they physically can. But as the sun gets higher, grazing plummets.
Right.
Between noon and 2.00 p.m., they basically stop. The absolute lowest grazing point across the entire herd was at 1.0 p.m., which perfectly aligns with the rising THI heat index.
They are strategically front-loading their caloric intake while the air is still cool enough to shed their muscle heat.
It reminded me of Mediterranean siesta culture.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to a hot coastal town in the summer, you get up early, you do the heavy physical work in the morning while there's a breeze, and when the midday heat hits, the whole town just shuts down.
Everything closes.
The shops close, people stay indoors, and they rest. It's a pastoral siesta. You wouldn't turn on your oven to cook a heavy stew at 2 p.m. in a kitchen with no air conditioning.
No, you would wait until the evening. And the cows are doing exactly that. They're dynamically managing their daily time budget.
But the data point that really stunned me was the rumination.
It's wild.
During that hot autumn trial, rumination time didn't just slow down. It dropped to absolute zero between 4.0 p.m. and 5.0 p.m.
Not a single cow out of the 36 was chewing its cud during that hour.
So if they spend the entire morning from 9 a.m. to noon packing their stomachs full of fresh grass, but their rumination hit zero at 4.0 p.m., they were just walking around with full stomachs.
Right.
When is all that morning grass actually getting digested?
This is where we see the sheer brilliance of their adaptation. Mm. Cattle are highly responsive to diurnal cycles, the natural shifting rhythm of day and night.
Okay.
Now remember, the researchers only tracked these cows during the daylight hours,
mm-hmm.
from 9:00 to 5:00 p.m.
All right.
So if rumination is hitting zero at 5000 p.m., what the data implies is a massive behavioral shift into the unrecorded nighttime hours.
They're pushing all the heavy lifting to the night shift.
They have to. They delay the heat-generating work of rumination until the sun sets and the THI drops. Digestion is pushed to the nocturnal hours.
That is so smart.
The cow's biology is smart enough to recognize, I have the fuel stored in my rumen, but I am going to hold it there and wait until the cool night air can safely absorb my internal metabolic heat before I turn on the fermentation furnace.
That is incredible. They're literally pausing their own digestion to save their lives in the afternoon.
It is a remarkable survival trait. But it also exposes a major flaw in how a lot of people think about farming and genetics.
Right, the genetic twist. Because here's where it gets really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand how powerfully the heat index and the time of day dictate this schedule, a logical assumption would be that a cow selectively bred for heat tolerance would act completely differently, right?
That's the assumption.
If you are a farm manager looking at this data, you might think, well, Holsteins stress out at a THI of 68, but Jerseys don't stress until 75, so I'll just buy a herd of Jerseys and they will keep grazing right through the afternoon.
That is standard industry thinking. You assume the genetics will outcompete the environment.
But the data from Massey University proves that assumption is completely wrong.
It was arguably the most definitive and surprising finding in the entire paper.
The researchers ran the statistics, and the variance in behavior that could actually be explained by the breed of the cow was remarkably, almost unbelievably tiny.
Miniscule.
The breed only accounted for a 1% variance in grazing time.
A 1% difference between a heavy Holstein and a heat-tolerant Jersey.
And it gets wilder. Breed only accounted for a 1.3% variance in rumination and a 4.6% variance in idling.
Yeah.
The researchers explicitly concluded that breed and its interactions with other factors had virtually no significant effect on the behavioral patterns.
It is a paradigm-shifting piece of data for the agricultural world.
To me, trying to rely on the genetics of the breed to solve a heat stress problem is kind of like putting racing stripes on a car to beat a traffic jam.
That is a great way to visualize it.
It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. You could be in a high-performance sports car or a clunky minivan. The traffic, which in this case is the overwhelming environmental heat and humidity, forces everyone to idle.
Right. You can't escape the traffic.
You can't out-engineer a traffic jam. And a cow's genetics can't out-engineer a humid 85-degree afternoon. The environment is the ultimate equalizer.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a crucial takeaway for farm management. Under these moderate New Zealand conditions, environmental stress applies a profoundly dominant influence, much more so than genetic lineage.
Yeah.
You cannot just swap out your herd for a different breed and assume they are going to keep producing milk at peak efficiency during heatwave. The biological imperative to cool down will always override the genetic predisposition.
So bringing this all home for the listener, if you are someone managing a dairy farm or just a consumer who cares about how our food systems are going to adapt to a rapidly changing climate, so what does this all mean? What is the practical application of this person standing in a field for 72 hours with a stopwatch?
Right. Well, it means the agricultural industry cannot simply breed its way out of heat stress. Farm management has to shift toward manipulating the environment and respecting the animal's natural biological rhythms. The study highlights that farms must provide physical interventions.
Like what?
That means ensuring there is adequate expansive shade in the paddocks so the cows can idle comfortably and lower their heart rates. It means guaranteeing constant, easy access to cool water.
And it means you can't force them to work against the clock.
Exactly. You have to alter your expectations. It means adjusting feeding and milking timetables to align with cows' low THI windows.
Shift the whole schedule.
Yeah. If the data tells you they're going to flatline their grazing at 1.0 p.m. and cease rumination entirely at 4.0 p.m., you do not push them to move or eat during those hours. You work with their diurnal cycle, not against it. You let them take their pastoral siesta.
You let the computer buffer so it doesn't melt down.
Precisely. But this entire system, this delicate balance of front-loading food in the morning and digesting it at night, relies on one massive environmental assumption. And the study hints at a rather provocative, slightly ominous thought through its own limitations.
What's that?
Well, the researchers only track the cows during the daylight hours, deducing that the cows push their heavy, heat-generating rumination into the night because the night is cooler.
Right.
But as global temperatures continue to rise, the scientific consensus is that we aren't just seeing hotter days, we are seeing significantly warmer nights.
Oh, wow.
But
Yeah.
the baseline temperature is shifting upward,
Yeah.
meaning the air isn't cooling down when the sun sets.
So the THI stays high.
Exactly. If nighttime temperatures rise to the point where they no longer provide a low THI cooling window, the cows lose their nocturnal safe zone.
That's terrifying.
It is, because if a cow can never cool down enough to safely start its internal fermentation vat, it can't digest its food. It stops eating entirely. Milk production crashes, the animal's health deteriorates, and the compounding thermal debt eventually causes the entire pasture-based dairy system to break down. We are relying on the cool of the night to save our agriculture, but that cool night is slowly disappearing.
It entirely reframes that sweltering summer afternoon we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, it really does.
It's one thing to sit perfectly still in front of a fan, waiting for the sun to go down, knowing that relief is coming in a few hours.
Right.
But it is an entirely different, far more terrifying kind of stress if the sun goes down and the heat simply never breaks.
It's a completely different reality.
And that is the reality these animals and our agricultural systems are currently navigating. It is a heavy thought, but an absolutely essential one to understand if we want a resilient food system for the future.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all for this deep dive. Take that thought with you the next time you feel the humidity spike on a summer evening, and we will catch you on the next one.